Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Today is somewhat of a transition in this season of Easter. For the last 3 weeks, we have heard of our Lord's resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday. We have heard of his gifts, how he shepherds us, his baptism, his Lord's Supper. But the joys of these gifts, the joys of the resurrection, start to fade a little bit today as we move towards the ascension of our Lord and the coming of his Spirit on Pentecost. That is, we are moving towards our Lord establishing among us here on earth his kingdom, the kingdom of God. And he does this by ascending to the right hand of the Father and by sending his Spirit, his representative, the one who leads us on the way, the Comforter, the Paraclete. This second half of Easter is perhaps then more realistic towards our life. The Easter joys, the grand alleluias and every hymn, even the smiles on our faces, perhaps even the Easter lilies, the last of them have finally bit the dust. And it is true that Easter takes us into joy, but it also leads us, as the shepherd does, into a life of combat, a life of gritty, practical reality. And that is the life of the baptized, those who were born into faith, children of God, resurrected with him. We struggle with our Lord's commands and our lack of keeping them. We are suffering under the onslaught of Satan and his demonic host. There are cares and there are difficulties in this world that bother us, that pester us, that are worse than a nuisance, but even seek to do us harm, to lead us to death. And so what began with resurrection joys, our Lord's appearances to the disciples in the upper room and by the seashore, and he leading them like the good shepherd, now moves into the future. That is Christ's future and your future. For the ascension into heaven isn't just simply about our Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father, but it is about you following him to your home, heaven, your fatherland. We, as the bride of the bridegroom, follow him to where he has gone. What that means is that this life is a life of pilgrimage, moving from death into life, from burial to resurrection, from sorrow into joy. It is a hard and difficult life, full of testing, combat, and suffering. That's what Easter is about, sorrow into joy. It strikes me at this moment that today's gospel reading would have been more fitting for 2 weeks from now. But the secular calendar doesn't always line up with the church calendar. The lesson being learned of the woman in childbirth. How her sorrow fades. But after a little while, after, say, 9 months, and then however long the labor and delivery is, that little while goes away, and another little while comes. Child is born, and there is joy. Fitting for Mother's Day. You have to hold that thought till then. But the lesson today is not given just to mothers, but it was to be given to the disciples first and foremost. Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples in today's gospel. He's speaking to them of what is about to happen, his passion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension. But the disciples aren't ones to dwell on the future or to find hope in it. Instead, they are thinking only in terms of what they have now. They're thinking of the present. They're thinking about how their Lord is saying that he's going to depart from them. And they think that means they won't have their teacher to guide them, to show them the way they should go, to offer them the kind of protection that he did when he stilled the storm, for example. But that isn't what Jesus has in mind for them. Those things, that presence, was good, to be sure, but he has a better presence in store for them, an abiding presence. That is, a better future, one that is not a loss at all. Indeed, our Lord's death and resurrection is not a loss, but it is a gain for them and a gain for you. For there will be but two little whiles. The first little while for the disciples will be when our Lord suffers and dies. But then there will be another little while, and he will be resurrected before them with joy. And a little while again, and he will ascend into heaven. And then a little while, and he will come again with his Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And that would bring comfort to the disciples. Those words would be recalled as they waited, those little whiles, waiting for their Savior to come as he has promised. But the better future that he has in mind isn't just about his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming on Pentecost. He's talking about a joy that will last forever, an abiding presence that will never end, that will surpass every kind of presence that we have here and every kind of joy that we experience in this life. Jesus is telling us about a joy that will swallow up all sorrows, that grief will be washed away, a joy in new life that has banished death. And he uses that fitting analogy, the one of the woman in birth, having birth. Those pangs of birth are forgotten in the rapture of motherhood. This should bring joy to us, knowing that what we experience in this life is but for a little while. And then there'll be a little while again, and we will experience joys that will never end. And yet there is a bit of a warning in that little while, a warning to be on guard, attentive to one's life. For that little while, the first little while that he speaks of, is referring to our life, our whole life, long or short. It's referring to all of human history. That is but a little while. And even if we have long life, even if we make great effort in this life, it is but for a little while. It is transient. All the things of this life, the cares, the riches, the pleasures, even our marriage, will end in the end. They will be brought to a close, either by death or by worse. And so there is a warning not to treasure these things, for they are but a little while. Not to treasure the Savior who walks amongst us, as the disciples did, but instead to treasure the Savior who comes by his Spirit, not just to the disciples, but to all nations, Jew and Gentile, which is a gain, not a loss at all. So there is encouragement in this little while, for it is little. Our life's importance isn't measured by its length, whether it be long or short, a few hours or days, or even by reason of strength, 80. That isn't a measure of how important it is before God. Nor our successes in this life, our influence upon others, the example that we leave even for our children, or any of the things that we can't take with us. It is true, you can't take anything with you. There is no U-Haul following the hearse, as it is said. None of these things are a measure of your standing before God, what he thinks of you. They all will be here for but a little while, and then they too will fade. Fade kind of like the Easter joys are fading now. And yet, even as those joys fade, the triumph of the cross maybe is more of a distant memory. We know that it is but a little while. And we aren't the only ones that know that this Time on earth is but a short while. Our enemies know this truth as well. They know that the conflict that they can inflict upon us, the tensions in this life, our drudging towards death, all these things are but a little while. So they wage war against our soul, try to drag us down into the pit, knowing that their time too is short. They have been defeated, and in a little while, they will finally be destroyed. A little while. Something that should cause us to rejoice, to sing out jubilate, as the Sunday is called. For in but a little while, we will have reunion with Christ. Our bridegroom comes very near. Yes, it is true there are two little whiles. One, this life on earth, life from birth, but always unto death. And then there is a second little while, a time where we are laid in the tomb. But even that little while will be short. This body of death will be brought to an end. And our Lord will call out, calling all the dead from the tomb with a trumpet call, the sound of rushing waters, to come forth, to be judged, to enter into his kingdom. That's what the Easter promise really is about. If our joy is in that, the promise of the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting, it's a joy that can never fade. An Easter promise that is more than a little while, more than a little of any of the things in this life. What he has in store for us, the promise that is to come, the promise he gave to the disciples in the upper room, the promise he says to you now, is that everything in this life is but for a little while, be it good or bad. But what is in store for you after another little while is an eternity with him in heaven. Yes, it may seem like you are a mother having birth pains now. Indeed, the whole earth groans with eager anticipation, Peter says. But all will be forgotten after a little while for joy that we enter into the heavenly kingdom. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.